I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is the ceremonial playing of Curtis Blow's basketball as basketball season begins.
Yeah, we got Knicks Celtics tonight and T-Wolves Lakers tonight. Which is more interesting to you?
The Knicks and T-Wolves are like equally interesting for the same reasons in terms of the trade they made with each other. I think the Celtics are more interesting to me than the Lakers. The Lakers are just annoying at this point. But I am probably more likely to watch the late game. I tend to be more likely to watch late games after I deal with family stuff. So I'll probably see more of the Wolves-Lakers game.
Yeah, expect to see Bronny play, don't you? The ceremonial play of Bronny?
I just don't care. I don't care. And I don't want to be like grumbly old man yelling at a crowd about the Bronny James thing. But it is annoying to me, and it's not even the Bronny James, LeBron James thing themselves that's annoying to me. It's more the media treatment of it.
Right.
Like, LeBron James is not the first rich guy to get his kid a job at his company. Like, that happens all the time, so I'm not interested in sweating that too much.
Right.
But I hate to see media people who are supposed to be in the business of, like, just saying what's true, treating it like something that it is not. Like, this is not some achievement. It's like the rich guy got his kid a job. That's all it is.
Right. Yes. And I'm with you. It's not the end of the world. It happens all over the place, all over the time, so I don't sweat it either. But it's not. Yeah. All right. It is, in fact, the Griffeys are going to be there. It's not Ken Griffey Jr. Let's be honest. It is not Ken Griffey Jr. and Ken Griffey Sr.
This is what I was alluding to. Like, that was a real thing. You know, Ken Griffey Jr. would have been in the majors at 18 or 19 or whatever, no matter who he was.
Right. And they're going to be there tonight, which is even more annoying, which makes it more annoying. So, all right. You've got a piece up on the Grizzlies, the return of the Grizzlies, and you've got a suggested, it ends with a suggested sort of theme for the year. It was We Here. When was We Here? Yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't know that the column was going to go up so quickly, so I wasn't really expecting it to be up already. Yeah, that's sort of a table setter, more of a big picture table setter for the season, for the Grizzlies season. If you're not interested in digging into the weeds on stuff in the preseason, that's a column more for you, for a general fan, for all fans. So to me, the great moment of this era of Grizzlies basketball was not even in the playoffs. It was in the ESPN All Access game against Brooklyn, March of 2022, near the end of that great 56-win season. When Desmond Bane was interviewed after the game and he was asked, give me one word, you know, to describe this team. And he said, I need two, We Here. And then everyone mobbed him. And to me, that moment, that was the We Here Grizzlies. That was sort of the moment that sort of captured the spirit of that team. And like, Here didn't last very long. And so what I get to at the end of the column you're referencing is that, you know, if you're looking for a slogan this season, you know, you have to earn it first. But this is not one you can tout in the front end, but what you're trying to get to is the sequel to We Here, which should be We Back.
We Back. I do like I Get Up, though. Like, the Nike thing, it works. That's a lovely slogan.
No, it's quite elegant, because as I said, it implicit in that is I get up in the air, and also I get up off the mat.
Yeah, no, it's really sweet. Anyway, We Back, so we'll hope they're back. And like you, I thought this column was maybe going to go up tomorrow as a table setter for the Grizzlies. Opener, which is tomorrow, but it's up now. You can read it at the Daily Memphian. One of the things you mentioned in the story, which is a number that astounded me, was how much Jaren, Ja, and Dez have played together over the last 5 years. And, of course, this comes in the wake of the news that Jaren will miss at least the opener tomorrow. Let's talk about that briefly first. I think that was kind of, I don't know, it was when I read it, it was unexpected. I thought he would be back for the opener. And then last week we heard that they were, you know, they were practicing, you know, basically full go. What do you think the status is of Jaren? What do you make of that situation?
I mean, I can only go by what we're told on right. that. And I don't know whether it didn't progress as well as they thought, or whether they were just being real hopeful a couple weeks ago when they become so skittish about fan reaction and injury stuff. Maybe they were just trying to, you know, it's okay, everybody, it's okay. They're going to be there for the opener. Caution is sort of a buzzword, and it's impossible to know from a distance whether it's good caution or like overly cautious. And with the Jaren thing, the implication seemed to be that like it was a conditioning thing. It was, yeah. He hadn't played all preseason, and we're over the injury, but we want to, you know, ramp him up conditioning wise. I don't know. I would have been more persuaded by saying like, let's give the hamstring a few more days, you know, because I do think a hamstring strain, that's the kind of soft tissue injury that if it doesn't get right, it can just sort of bother you for a while.
Right.
So to me, to say like this has to be completely in the rearview mirror, otherwise it's sort of counterproductive to get out there. To me, that's a little bit more persuasive than like the conditioning part of it. But regardless, if he does play on Saturday, the home opener, you're really only missing one game from what you would have otherwise had, because it's my belief that coming off that injury, he was not going to play both halves of the back-to-back in games 2 and 3 anyway.
Right.
And so my expectation, even if he were playing tomorrow night, was that he would play 2 of the first 3 games. Now my expectation is 1 of the first 3 games.
Yeah, it feels fairly certain that he won't play the Houston game, because that is the back this Friday night against Houston, and then home for the opener against Orlando Saturday. So we will hope to see Jaren on Saturday. But the stat was, over the last 5 years, how many games have Jaren, Dez, and Ja averaged? And it's kind of astounding.
Yeah, you're completing the two stats. There's okay. only two stats in the column. The Ja, Jaren, Dez is 3 seasons, because Dez hasn't played 5 seasons.
Right.
So it's 3 seasons since Desmond Bane has become a starter. Over those 3 seasons, the full trio has taken the court together an average of 30, 31 times a season. It's 92 times over 3 seasons. And the high one, obviously there wasn't much last year because Job basically missed all year.
Right.
But even the high water mark, the year they won 56 games, it was like 53 games out of 82, all three of them were on the floor. They won 56 games that season. And then the other one is Ja and Jaren together, who have played 5 seasons together.
Okay.
And over those 5 seasons, the average is 35 games a year.
That's just...
Just to have the two.
Just yeah. the two. And so you are asked, you're on Nate Duncan's podcast, and you are asked if the return of those three together could lift the Grizzlies to a 50-win season, and your answer is yes, right?
The answer is yes. Now, winning 50 games and being like a real like contender to go all the way, that's a separate step up.
Right.
But to get back to that 50-game, like solid playoff team level, yeah, I think those three guys with any reasonable NBA supporting cast is enough to do that if you have those three guys. So if you tell me right now those three players will play together in 55 out of 82 games this season, then yes, I think Grizzlies will win in 50 games. But that hasn't happened. So
we're not. But Jeffrey asked the question, by the way, and I didn't know this off the top of my head. When did the Grizzlies last have an opener when they had their 5 presumptive starters? And we're
I don't know. Jeffrey texted me actually that question yesterday, and I didn't have time to look it up. But it's been a while, because obviously Ja was out with
last year
and the suspension last season, and then Jaren was out with a foot injury that cost him the year he won Defensive Player of the Year. He missed the first month of the season with a foot injury. And so it's been a little bit.
So we'll presume it was the year before that. The other interesting
question. Well, I don't know.
It may not have been
the year before. It was, yeah.
The other interesting thing you mentioned is that if you get past those three, you talked about winning 50 is one thing, but then being a legitimate elite championship contender is another thing. And it will require some progress from some players who haven't necessarily proven it before. And you ask the question, who is the Grizzlies' fourth best player? Who is the Grizzlies' fourth best player?
This is sort of me reacting a little bit to Nate Duncan and John Hollinger, their podcast they do every week. They ask this question. They didn't even ask the question. They assumed that it had to be Marcus Smart and said, can Marcus Smart really be the fourth best player on a playoff team now? And my response as a listener was, it's not going to be Marcus Smart. Or if the Grizzlies are a playoff team, it won't be Marcus Smart. It'll be Vince Williams Jr. or Zach Edey. I think more likely Zach Edey. I think the highest upside players on the team after the top three guys, even for this season, are Vince Williams Jr. and Zach Edey. And again, those are two guys who have never played a high-stakes NBA game, one of them starting the season injured. And so there's a lot of risk there. But I do think the best version of the Grizzlies, those are the two guys who are going to jump up to be the next guys in line after the top three.
It's an interesting question that so when they ask the question, it's sort of some built-in skepticism. How good can they be if Marcus Smart is your fourth best player? What's interesting is when they acquired Marcus Smart, would you have said, oh, man, they're quite – I mean, he was acquired to be the fourth best player on a playoff team, wasn't he?
Well, fourth or fifth. They showed Steven Adams when they acquired Marcus Smart. They thought Steven Adams was coming back, right? And so I think Marcus Smart and Steven Adams were both, you know, if you think about pre-injury Steven Adams, or if you would assume he was coming back, you know, to what he was before, they were both guys who were, like, peeking towards the back of, like, the top 100 rankings, right? So they were similar kind of players at different positions. And so I think the idea is you would have both of those guys. I think the expectation of Marcus Smart, to me, is slightly behind what it was when they acquired him.
It's interesting because he's still in a lot of the top 100 rankings. That may be off reputation. Do we believe that Marcus, I mean, we haven't seen him, but do we believe that Marcus Smart is diminished from peak Marcus Smart, and how much?
Based on the 20 games he played and then the few games in preseason, I think he is at least diminished a little bit offensively. Not that he was ever like some dynamic on-ball player, but he was a guy who was nominally a point guard, you know, early in his career, and I just don't think you can call him that anymore. And so I think he's a guy who plays defense and, you know, sort of makes plays, right? He's a guy who just makes plays with his skill for the game, but I don't think he's a guy who can reliably create things for you, you know, in a consistent way offensively.
You point out in the column there are those prognosticators who have the Grizzlies going, at least some, one, who has the Grizzlies going to the NBA Finals. And then there's another, and that would be John Hollinger, former Grizzlies employee, who predicts them to have a losing record and miss the playoffs. What do you make of John Hollinger's pessimism about the Grizzlies' prospects this season?
Yeah, I mean, that losing record he's projecting is 40-42, right? It's not last season. And, like, if you tell me the Grizzlies are going to 40-42 this year, like, you don't have to pick me up off the floor. Like, that's an easy thing to get to. The reality is, in the West this year, I think the most interesting place in the standings this season in the regular season is 11th place in the West, because there could be more than 11, but there are, I think, legitimately 11 teams in the West who look at this and say, okay, everything breaks right, we're a playoff team. And, like, one of them won't even be in the play-in. And that could be the Grizzlies. It could be, you know, the new Pelicans. It could be the Kings. It could be the Warriors. It could be the Lakers. It could be the Rockets. You know, it could be any number of teams. I don't think it will be the Grizzlies. I think all those teams I just mentioned are more likely to be that team than the Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies could very well be that team. So I don't think, to me, it's not an outrageous prediction that the Grizzlies are 11th. I think it's a little bit more. I think the 11th thing is probably somewhat more likely than, like, you're in the NBA Finals. But I don't think that's outrageous either. I think that's how wide the variance is.
I suspect whoever is 11th, they'll know why they were 11th. It'll be like the Grizzlies, not necessarily like the Grizzlies last year.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
It won't be.
Right.
Everyone who's predicting this has the 11th place team winning 40 or 41 or 39 games. The reality is, one of these teams will fall apart, and that team will win 34 games or whatever. Right. We just don't know who that's going to be.
We just don't know who's going to fall apart. All right, other stuff yesterday. Bobby Marks said that the Grizzlies would revisit the Jaren Jackson contract stuff next summer. Remind me where we are on that, and is it possible to imagine an extension next summer, or is this a deal where, because of the extension rules, he's got to take it all the way to free agency?
So I wrote about this. I did a column on Jaren a couple of weeks ago, and like the third section was basically, I'm going to get into the weeds of the contract stuff. You can stop reading now if you want to.
Right.
So I wrote about all this then. And I couldn't report, as a matter of fact, the Grizzlies will not have an extension with Jaren Jackson this summer.
Right.
But I basically said the Grizzlies are not going to have an extension with Jaren Jackson this summer. It was like 99.9% certainty. Now, if he makes – the thing is, if you do an extension right now, you have to extend off of his current contract. And his current – off the last season of his current contract, which is next season. And that number is pretty low. And so you're limited in what you can extend off of. And so, like, the most they could offer him, it was something like a 3-year extension for, like, $105, $110 million. And so I don't know that they've offered him that. I assume they have. But this season, if he hits one of the Supermax criteria, which means you win MVP, which won't happen, you make all NBA, which is possible, or you win Defensive Player of the Year, which, by the way, he's already done. If you hit one of those three, suddenly you're Supermax eligible and the rules change. And at that point, like, I think he would certainly sign a Supermax contract. I don't know that the Grizzlies would offer him one. That's where that gets tricky. I think in the absence of that, more than likely he goes through the next season and takes it into free agency. But I think, you know, even if he doesn't hit those criteria next summer, they'll put the same kind of offer on the table and say, like, you know, this is less money than you could, in theory, make if you wait, but you don't have to wait. Here it is. Like, here's $100 and whatever million, you know? And then who knows what the decision is.
We did have some contracts extended yesterday. Let's see. Jalen Suggs, 5 years, $105 million. Alperen Sengun, 5 years, 185. Jalen Green, three.
I think the Suggs thing was 150, not 105.
Oh, was it? Okay, I inverted my numbers. Yeah. Jalen Green, 3 years, 106. Jalen Johnson, 5 years, 105. Trey Murphy, 4 years, 112, and Aaron Gordon, 4 years, 133. Any of those strike you one way or another in particular?
I think, you know, the Jalen, what did you say the Jalen Johnson was? Like 5 years?
105
or something?
Yeah.
If he really is a high-level starter, borderline all-star, not quite an all-star, but like the next group down kind of guy, which is sort of what he looks like he might be, I think that's a good deal, given how young he is. I think some of these others, I wonder about, you know, because Santi Aldama didn't get a contract done. It's something we've wondered about. And you go around the league, and some of these deals, people always look at it and say, well, the cap's going up. It'll look good. And I wonder about some of that. I think if you're not a true star-level player, I don't know how many deals that are sort of, you know, that are reasonable are going to seem reasonable to the team. I think if you think about the Grizzlies, like, you know, if you're paying $12 million to Santi Aldama, which is sort of what Moses Moody got, and he's your fourth big, are you really happy about that? So I don't know in some of those. I don't look at any of those and say, wow, what a great deal for the team. They all seem like fair deals. But ultimately, do you want fair deals for non-star players? I think what you see with the Grizzlies is, you know, they pay Ja, they pay Death. I think they're probably going to pay Jaren if they'll take it. And I think they're trying to, like, you know, find Vince Williams and Scottie Pippen and Gigi Jackson and Zach Edey and those guys. You know, I think those like healthy contracts for sub-star players, I wonder about that.
And then finally, you did last week have your projections for the entire season, and we talked about them last week, the teams, where they would finish, et cetera. We didn't get to your awards, and I know you don't put great stock in this, but let's do this since it is this new season is upon us now. Your MVP pick was
Luka. I think Luka is the best active player who's not won an MVP. The MVP over the last six seasons has been shared by three players, Giannis, Embiid, and Jokic. I think there will be a hunger to give someone new the MVP. I think Embiid won't play enough games anyway. I don't think the previous winners, you know, the past generation of winners who are still great, like Durant and LeBron and Curry, are going to play enough probably either or be on good enough teams. I think Luka's sort of in line for it. And if the Mavs have – I don't think they have to finish first in the West. I haven't finished in second. I think if they finish second in the West and he just looks like the best player out there, like maybe not Jokic, best player out there, I think there's a good chance he's going to win.
Coach of the year.
I think I picked Udoka. Is that what I said?
You did, huh?
I'm higher on Houston than the average on Houston. Like, I have Houston top of the next group in the West, that middle group. I have been finishing seventh. And I think on a team without a clear-cut star, with all these different players, you have to sort of juggle, like, you know, pecking order and figure it out. I think if they have the kind of season I think they're going to have, I think he's someone who could win. Rick Carlisle with Indiana, I also like for that.
Rookie of the year.
You know, to me, the top tier for that, to me, is Zach Edey, and Reed Shepard. Shepard may not start. So that leads me towards Zachary Richichet and Zach Edey. Maybe it's part of me just sort of trying to be a little bit less homerish or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think Richichet is going to be, if I predict the leading rookie scorer this season, I think I'll predict Richichet, because he could be the number two scorer in that team, whereas Zach Edey, I think his ceiling is the number four scorer for the Grizzlies.
Most improved player.
I kind of like my pick there. More than likely, it's going to be someone who's more of a star. That tends to be what happens. Like who the first-time All-Star is, the first-time All-NBA guy. I went this with more like who I could see myself voting for if the season goes the way I think it would go. I think Jaden Ivey is going to have a breakthrough season for Detroit. This is a guy who has a quasi-mythic connection that his mother was a Grizzlies assistant coach, you know, when he was in college. He was a top five pick. Since we're lost in Detroit for 3 years, bad coaching, all kinds of a mess there. I think he's got a better head coach now. He's got better shooting around him. He had a really strong preseason. I think he's going to be one of the breakout guys in the league.
All right. And then you had a conventional finals pick. That was Celtics over Thunder, and the wild card finals pick, Sixers over Timberwolves. Anything to say about that?
Yeah, I've lost my enthusiasm for making a finals pick in October, because I think the playoffs really is a different season, and teams change and evolve so much. In some cases, they change the players on the teams over the course of the season. I'm more interested in making playoff picks when the playoffs arrive. The other thing this season is that the Celtics Thunder are so clearly sort of the best teams on paper in the two conferences, that if you're picking something different, you're just looking for something different to pick, which I am too. So I just went to both. Like the obvious pick is Celtics Thunder, and I sort of went, tried to think of, like, if things break right for teams, what teams have the upside, like, come playoff time? And so I went Wolves Sixers on that. The Sixers could be terrible. It could all just implode. But I think right. if they get three rounds of playoffs, you know, with Tyrese Maxey, Paul George, and Joel Embiid all healthy, like, I think that team could be in the NBA Finals.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sports book, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving all users 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off is place any $5 bet on the NBA. It's wide open this year in the NBA. So if you're new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. After a 3-month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel any time, no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. We got Fish on Friday on Tuesday coming up next. It is Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Charles Fishman, our man in Washington, D.C., Charles, of course, author of three New York Times bestsellers, most recently One Giant Leap, about the extraordinary efforts of ordinary Americans to get us to the moon, also a three-time winner of the Gerald Loeb Award for Excellence in Business Writing, and a retired Mississippi River tugboat deckhand, joins me now. Charles, how are you?
I think we should live stream the text messages between you and me during the half hour leading up to the segment and then into the segment, so people can see the manner in which you treat me and my preparation. As we're going on the air,
you send me a list of things that you want to talk about. Normally, you don't wait till the music's actually playing to send me the list of things. And now I'm getting, I got no list. The music, I need to know what to ask about. Now, mind you, I had Trey Wingo on today. I didn't have a list. I had Chris Harrington on today. I didn't have a list. Most people, I don't have the benefit of a list. But you, we have a list, and so there you go.
And we've talked.
We have pre-production meetings and stuff and all of that. So you have no water this morning. Is that correct?
I have no water. I mean, here, obviously, no one cares that I have no water.
That's true.
We have no water at Fishman Unlimited. But here's what's astonishing about it. I say this to people on a regular basis because I think it's really important. So I woke up this morning, a neighbor had sent me a text, but I woke up this morning, turn on the water faucet, in the bathroom, and nothing comes out. Now, my microwave oven downstairs that I got for $59 from Walmart, literally the day after we moved into this house, it is pre-programmed by its Chinese designers mm-hmm. and software engineers. So when the electricity fails, the microwave oven flashes PF on the screen, power failure.
Right.
Someone in China is smart enough and aware enough to know that the electricity system in the U.S. is such that routinely the electricity fails and you have to do something with the screen after the power failure so people know to reset the time. This is only the second time in my entire life at age 63 that I've turned on the water and there's been no water because of a failure in my, in the water utility. And the other time was in this house 18 months ago with exactly the same pipe broken.
Yeah, I remember we talked about it last time. So why is it then? I guess the point is that you've written a book about water.
It's called The Big Thirst.
People can read the book about water. And but one of the things you write about in the book is that we take for granted how unbelievably reliable our water system is.
This morning, imagine if you this water main. This is the third time in 18 months, same exact spot. So whole separate topic, but they really ought to just fix it this time.
Whatever. Yeah.
Not going to be any water here until 6 o'clock tonight. But imagine getting a 7-year-old and a 10-year-old ready for school this morning, or for that matter, a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old with no water, no toilets, no showers. No.
Okay, here's my question. Why is it that electricity goes out all the time and water does not?
Well, water is, by its very nature, harder to deliver. You just string a power line. Laying a water main work, but that means those water mains are a little better protected in general.
Right.
But the other answer is the culture of water utilities in America is the thing we care most about is reliability. We want you to – safety goes without saying. We want you to always turn the water on and have it be there. That has been the culture of water utilities for 100 years. Municipal water systems got their start in the U.S. as fire protection. And that is connected to this culture of absolute reliability. If you're going to use piped water to fight fires and there's a fire and there's no water, then the only mission for the water system has failed. So that culture of reliability goes all the way back to that. Anyway,
you do have great regard, don't you, for people who work in municipal water. Isn't that just generally as a...
Absolutely. Absolutely. I hope I'm not conveying anything but that. The fact that the water system works is amazing. The way it works is amazing. The pipe that broke, I watched them fix it the first time. As you said, we talked about it on the air. That pipe is probably pre-World War II in this neighborhood, or right around World War II when the neighborhood was built. There are not many things that you're still using from 1947. Here's the amazing thing, because I wrote a book, I happen to know this. The oldest water main in Washington, D.C., still in use, providing drinking water, was installed in 1859 under K Street. K Street, of course, legendary as the home of the big high-dollar lobbying firms. Isn't that amazing? Before Abraham Lincoln became president.
Yeah. All right. Here's a mystery. I remember, like a few weeks ago, that the real sport on this in this segment for a while was watching whether interest rates were going to go up or down. And so a few weeks ago, interest rates went down. They didn't just go down. There was a jumbo rate cut.
There was a jumbo rate cut.
And it was half a percentage point as opposed to a quarter of a percentage point. Everyone on this show who listens to this show has been following along and understands that. Here's my question. If I look at the actual mortgage rates that you're being charged if you want a mortgage for your house.
The people most care about at this moment.
Those are going up. Riddle me that. Explain that to me. What the hell? How does that work? It's like a teeter-totter, a seesaw. What's happening here? Rates are going down, but rates are going up.
I would like to pause and appreciate that metaphor. It is like a teeter-totter.
The accidental genius is really how I've gotten through life. What is
there's the title of your memoir, The Accidental Genius.
What's the explanation for this?
So we got to go into the weeds a little bit here. First of all, interest rates are down. Mortgage rates are down dramatically. Just between May and September, they went down from 7.2 to 6.2. So that's really significant. They're dramatically down from a year ago if you're trying to buy a house. But they've actually gone up about a quarter of a point to 6.4, 6.5 since Jay Powell and the Federal Reserve Board lowered interest rates. And here's why. It's a little hard for even me to understand, but the interest rates that the Federal Reserve Bank is playing with are very short-term rates. They're actually the rates that the Federal Reserve Bank of the U.S. government charges commercial banks, other banks, to borrow money overnight to sort of make everything work out when they transfer you your paycheck. Those are the rates that the government charges banks overnight, really short-term loans. Okay. And those rates cascade out everywhere. But mortgage rates aren't based on Federal Reserve rates. The banks getting you a mortgage are agreeing to loan you money for 30 years at a fixed rate. They have no idea. We barely know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, let alone what's going to happen 24 years from now. So they have to build in a lot of cushion and a lot of risk, and they key their rates to 10-year Treasury bond rates. That's the rate the federal government is paying you to buy a 10-year bond from them. And after Jay Powell lowered—
By the way, I exited this conversation just a minute. It got too confusing for me, but keep going.
After they lowered the interest rates, people thought, well, maybe the economy is going to do great, continue to do great after all. I know the wisdom is that it's not doing great. But in fact, as The Economist magazine put the U.S. economy on its cover last week, the envy of the world, the U.S. economy. The economy is doing great, and Jay Powell wants there to be no recession. Well, if there's no recession, then inflation might be where it's going to be, and other interest rates may not come down as quickly as people thought. And so mortgage rates anticipate what's going to happen. They went down for a year before the Federal Reserve lowered its rates. So they pop back up because it's hard to appreciate, but the financial markets think the American economy is going to do good. And so mortgage rates crept back up. The wisdom here is they've probably come down as dramatically as they're going to come down in the last year and the last 4 or 5 months. If you're waiting for interest rates to buy a house, don't wait.
By the way,
lots of supply coming on the market. 33% more houses for sale right now than a year ago. Go find a house you can afford and buy it. Don't worry about the interest rate changes in the next year.
It's interesting. That's fine. I want to answer.
Go ahead. What were you going to say? Give it.
One of the interesting things. Every time you bring up the economy stuff, I hear people out there shrieking about how the economy. Economist magazine.
Inflation's bad, but we're going to talk about.
I want to get to that. But one of the interesting things is that I was listening to a podcast recently about, in the same way that the experts can tell us the economy is crushing it, right, is doing great. The Economist magazine, whatever else, can say it's the envy of the world. And yet there was all this gap between the reality of the economy and people's perceptions, right? Similarly, there has been, the experts will all tell you that crime numbers are coming way down. Maybe not in Memphis, where even they're coming down a little bit, but they're coming way down. And yet there is a perception that, same thing, there's a perception gap that people feel less secure and less safe in the world and more uncertain than ever before. So why is that? I think the economy thing largely has to do, my own personal theory, with inflation and the price of McDonald's Happy McDeal when you drive.
And also to be fair, hang on one second. McDonald's Happy Meals and the price of gas are one thing. Your rent and your mortgage, houses are much more expensive than they were in October 2019. And you can blame the pandemic and the Trump administration, followed by the Biden administration, for all that. But the key question is, how do we make housing more affordable again? But really, it's people. It's the McDonald's Happy Meal and the fact that you can't go to Subway for less than $14, but your rent is really important.
With the safety one, the theory on this podcast was, major crimes are coming down across the country. But disorder is creating, and disorder, we've talked before about, you walk into CVS now and razors are behind, everything's locked up. You go to New York and people are jumping over and not paying subway fares. You go to Portland and people have tents pitching the driveway, the unhoused have whatever. And it's so there can be this a clear reality that the numbers are coming down, but that doesn't translate. Anyway, we got totally off track here, and now your dogs are barking. The whole thing's gone off the rails. So answer this question.
Speaking of disorder.
Why are Republicans red and Democrats Blue.
You've tackled the biggest topic of the least time.
Let's get to that.
This is really interesting. What a great election topic. How did Republicans end up red and Democrats blue? By the way, in this sort of color coding goes all the way back to the Civil War at least. And in the Civil War is the opposite. The Republicans ran the Union. The Union wore blue uniforms. The Republican Party was associated with...
Republicans used to be blue and Democrats were red.
Right, right. In fact, in the 1980 election on TV, the Reagan landslide over Carter, two of the three news networks had their maps color-coded blue for Reagan's states, and only one had red.
As recently as Reagan, this color thing?
Oh, much more recently than that. There was no association. In fact, CNN and the Smithsonian Magazine did a study. In fact, neither political party since World War II has used red very much as its color because of the association of red with communism. Oh. Communism, the Soviet Union, adopted red as its color.
Better dead than red.
Sickle, yep. Quote, unquote, the Reds, right? The Red Scare. And so in their own political, in their posters and their logos and all their presidential stuff, both parties used mostly blue. And in fact, color didn't matter much until the 1980s because TV was in black and white and newspapers couldn't print color. This all started to change in the 1980s when the networks produced news shows, assuming that people had colored TVs. So 1984, CBS joined ABC in saying Republicans will be red and Democrats will blue. It was 12 years before NBC was doing it the opposite way, and they joined in 1996. In part, the head of news for NBC said because they felt like people switching among the networks would be confused. In 1996, once the networks aligned, Republicans red, Democrats blue. Now, I have to think about this every time. If you say to me, Oklahoma is a red state, I have to
see. I have it embedded in my mind, but I'll tell you, if you tell me which is secular and which is non-secular, I got to stop and figure that out each time.
Same thing, right? And some people like, you know, I'm passing you on the left. Which side are they passing me on again? Right? So this is one. Anyway, 1996, print was still doing its own thing. Time had dull blue and print red. It was the 2000 Gore versus Bush election that lasted weeks and weeks and weeks until the Supreme Court ruled. USA Today and the New York Times produced front page maps, red Bush Republican, and the USA Today graphics editor said, Republican began with R, and so we went with red. And everybody agrees.
Only
that
since
the network's notwithstanding. And since then, it's locked in. Red now states, blue in. States, yep. Right?
All right, thank you, Charles. Appreciate
but
it.
I have to think about it. We'll talk about Hooters next week.
We talk about Hooters every day here. Thank you, Charles. On Twitter, at C. Fishman, the NBA is back. FanDuel is giving you a deal. 3 months of NBA League Pass. That's right. 3 months of NBA League Pass free. All you have to do is head over to FanDuel, place any $5 bet on the NBA. That's for existing users and new users. If you are new to FanDuel, go to FanDuel.com/Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. After 3 month free trial, the price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. Jeffrey, what is coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Today, Jessica Benson joins their program. We'll have Tim Murray on Jeffrey Wright and Company today. Jonathan Van Tobel will join us during the 3 o'clock hour to discuss the NBA. It's Tuesday, so Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, buddy. We got to get out of here. Back tomorrow for now. Work's done.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.